Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
Well, Dave.
No Rob, Faisal today, huh?
No, I'm filling in. Yeah. Small shoes? Big shoes?
No, big shoes. Appreciate big it. Shoes. Appreciate it. Well, you're so much bigger than his, that's for sure.
Well, it's good to be here. Lots happening in the markets. Lots happening in a shortened trading week. So we'll kind of get to some highlights on what, you know, what that means.
Yeah. I think we've got an interesting show today. Aside from just the market commentary, we're going to talk a little bit about the legacy bucket, a couple of aspects, right? There's been some instances recently we've talked to people where they're having some conflict with their executor on an estate. You know, what happens if you get into that situation and you want to try to, you don't think that person's doing a good job and you want to have them removed? Not a simple process. So we're going to go through and explore that a little bit with Catherine Zhang. And we're also going to talk a little bit about trust, because trusts are something that come up often in conversation. And I don't think there's generally a good understanding what trusts are. They're flexible tools. They can be used at multiple points for very different things. And so we're going to try to shed a little bit of light on that. So you want to stick around, you want to stick around for that. But let's talk about this shortened trading week. One of the things I noted is that Canadian inflation was a bit of a surprise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, positive, down.
Positive surprise. Mm-hmm. Opposite of what we saw in the United States, right?
Yeah.
So the U.S. numbers come in higher than expected. I would say the trend is still down, right? But higher than anticipated. And the Canadian numbers come in significantly, call it 0.5% below what was expected.
Right.
I found that interesting.
I did too. And it was interesting digging kind of deeper into the numbers and looking at that, because there's some major allocations to those CPI numbers that we have to look deeper into. And we had energy prices down.
Right.
That brought it down. But for the central bankers, or for the Bank of Canada specifically, what they're going to be looking at is not coming down.
You know, this is going to be an interesting period of time, because if you said the composition of the CPI, and one of the things that's, to me, very interesting is this idea of mortgage and shelter costs represents about, call it 30% of the CPI calculation, but it's about 50% of the current inflation rate. Mm-hmm. And so when you strip that out, you're going to see inflation, general inflation beyond that, sub 2%, right? Sub what the Bank of Canada wants. So you've got this general disinflation trend, with the exception of the housing market. And I'm not saying that that's not a real cost to people, but the question that the central bank is going to have to ask itself is, does monetary policy dictate that? If there's a lack of supply and we've got high immigration, is there anything that monetary policy or the Bank of Canada controls that can actually affect that? And I don't think there is, but it doesn't necessarily mean that, and they certainly haven't, you know, acknowledged it the way we're acknowledging it right now. So I don't know what the Bank of Canada is going to do if we continue to see the broader economy start to decelerate and inflation really start to come down, but you've got this sticky shelter cost piece of the inflation that they can't fix.
Mm-hmm.
So Canada is going to be in a bit of an interesting position, I think, with respect to how the Bank of Canada is going to handle that.
Well, the interesting position too, that we're generally following Big Brother down south too.
Well, yeah. And there's that link too, right? If we start dropping rates too far in advance of the United States, you're going to see the Canadian dollar collapsing, you know, on a relative basis when you look at it versus the United States. So it's a little bit tricky. And people often ask me, you know, why do we always report on U.S. numbers? Well, these are the reasons. You know, the U.S. is the 800-pound gorilla in the zoo. And so we've got to really watch what's happening with that gorilla and what the impact will be on Canada, because if we stray too far on some of these things, you know, our economy is going to be materially affected by that. And that's why the U.S., not just that it's our biggest trading party, I don't care where you are in the world, you have to watch what's happening in the United States. Okay, what about this AI trade that hit hard again on, what was it, Thursday, when the NVIDIA results came out?
Oh, well, it's an interesting one. I mean, just blockbuster numbers.
And there was a sell-off ahead of that, right?
Yeah, yeah. The market didn't expect that.
That's right.
Blockbuster numbers, profit margins increase, capitalization on the company itself now at $2 trillion.
Yeah. to your point, the, you know, the top line, bottom line numbers were well ahead of expectation. But I think even more importantly, the signal going forward was this growth is going to continue.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a really interesting day on Thursday. Propped the markets up in general terms. You certainly saw any AI-related big tech rallying in sympathy with that. So really quite fascinating. In general terms, I'd say S&P 500 earnings numbers have come in pretty strong.
Pretty strong.
Right? NVIDIA's were, of course, the highlight. But in general terms, I think it's somewhere around 76% at least that has beat their earnings expectation. That's pretty much in line with historical expectations during any period. Now, you've got this notion of interest rates, and I think I just want to cover off this pretty quickly. Interest rates, the central banks have been, U.S. Fed, let's talk about U.S. Fed, guiding to a later in the year rate cut and something in the order of 3/4 point interest rate cuts in the United States. The market up until recently, the bond market in particular, hasn't necessarily believed that analysis. And so what we have seen is interest rates moving a little bit higher. If you look at, say, the 10-year U.S. Treasury yield, moving a bit higher back in around that 4.3 from a low of maybe 3.8%. Now, normally, when that happens, the reaction in the equity markets is to go lower. But that hasn't happened, right? We've hit new all-time highs again. Mm-hmm. What is it? You told me 12 new times. Highs on the S&P 500 this year, yep, alone, okay? So we keep pushing higher. And that's a bit of a conundrum in general sense, unless you believe that interest rates are moving higher for good news reasons, because the economy is actually stronger than expected and it is withstanding this, right? So it's going to be a very interesting debate, you know, through the market price discovery over the next couple of quarters about what's going to happen. Is this a good news or a bad news story? The fact that interest rates are going to remain higher for longer, rate cuts may be fewer than what was anticipated, I don't know, let's call it 2 months ago. But here's what I can say is I think now the bond market, when I was looking at it as of Friday morning, bond markets in the United States were pricing out a May rate cut, pricing in about a 76% chance of a 1/4 point rate cut in June. Mm-hmm. And they're pricing about 79 basis points of total cuts next year. Now, if we think in terms of 25 basis points each time, that's a little bit more than 3 cuts. And so the bond market seems to be, in my opinion now, pretty much aligned with what the U.S. Fed, right, has been guiding to. And I think that's generally going to be a good news story because it should take some of the volatility out of the bond markets, which often ends up affecting the stock markets.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting year. And I think it's an interesting one for individuals as they're watching. We didn't hear about the bond market this week. You watch it. You're the scared guy. That's, yeah, what Faisal calls you.
Yeah. Right?
It's interesting with markets hitting all-time highs. It'll come back into play. It'll come back into an interest rate conversation. And it's going to be a year of bond conversation 1 week, stock the next.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that people, it's not a one-way straight linear rise. So, you know, there'll be profit-taking along the way and so on and so forth. And so, you know, I think it's worth reminding people that it's been a pretty good start to the year so far. Mm-hmm. It's not a straight line up. You know, at certain points, there's going to be those things like a simple profit-taking that might drive markets down for a period. So, you know, just make sure that your wealth strategy, your investment strategy is appropriate for the amount of up and down risk, you know, yeah, volatility that you can handle. And for what the goal is as an outcome. Okay, we could go on forever about that. I think that's a pretty good general wrap up of some of the key stuff we saw in this shortened trading week. Let's talk a little bit of how to put all of this together, because a well done retirement is not just an investment portfolio. It's more complex than that. There's 4 buckets that we often talk about, and we're going to educate people about that at our upcoming seminars, both here and in Lethbridge.
You got it. Join us at the Calgary Seminar Tuesday, March 5th, 7 p.m. This will be in person at the Carriage House Inn. Join us in Lethbridge in person on Tuesday, March 19th, in person again at the Sandman Signature Hotel. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Have you ever wondered what a trust is or whether it's right for you? Stick around after the break. You're on QR Calgary and More Than Money.